All right, it's Sunday. I am still at the office all weekend preparing for the next two upcoming classes. If you try to get into these last two classes, the next two classes coming up, not the last two for 2017. We got quite a few coming up. There's still time to register if you guys want to get in. We have room in both classes, a couple spots left in the one-day class. And then we have room in the 2 days, a big room. I'm going to talk about something that I'm going to address, something that was brought up. And sometimes when I'm reading my law books, it refreshes a conversation that I've had. It reminds me of something I had that I never addressed with a guy who called me or reached out to me and asked for some clarification. So I'm trying to get to everybody. Know that if you did reach out to me, you did ask me a question I never got back to you just because I'm busy. But I'm trying to get, as I come across it and it sparks my memory, I come back and I'll give it to you again. And I'm going to talk about searching safes and locked containers when you have probable cause or warrant. Now, we have to remember that when you have probable cause, you know, in the automobile exception, let's say, you know, in the automobile setting, so we'll call it plus exigency, and you could do a warrantless search, you can search as if you had a warrant in your hand. So with that predicating the next thing that I'm going to say, I want you to know that when you have PC, you can search like you have a warrant. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. PC plus exigency, what I mean. It's the same standard. And I'll get that wording for you, what case it comes from. But it's inherently known. And the one thing I'm going to talk about today is State versus Jackson. And it says a warrant which authorized the search of a third floor attic storage area for controlled substance also authorized the opening and search of a locked safe found therein. Now, we had a guy reach out to me and he said, I talked to my AP. My AP said that we have something different in New Jersey. And I said, no, we don't. And he said, yeah, well, he said he's going to get that for me. I said, when you get it, please call and press this person for that language in what case it comes from. When you get it, send it over and correct me. For about 4 days, I kept calling him. He said, no, I haven't heard back from the guy yet. I've been calling him, leaving messages and emailing him. I am shocked that an assistant prosecutor who claimed to know something did not get back to somebody with where it comes from. So again, be careful your opinions versus facts. Now, here come the facts. You're going to read State versus Jackson. I'll include the link. And I'm going to read to you something that's very interesting and that a lot of people will, like their bosses, will say, well, it doesn't say New Jersey on it. Well, guess what? When stuff goes to the U.S. Supreme Court and it's from Wisconsin, it may say Wisconsin v. Jones. But if it makes it to the federal court, they're keeping the name of the case the same. Just like when New Jersey cases make it to U.S. Supreme Court, it's usually state versus the defendant's last name. So when you see things like Pennsylvania versus Mims, it is the federal standard which New Jersey has adopted. Now, if you want to see where New Jersey has adopted it, you go into cases similar, addressing the similar issues, and they will actually refer to something like this. So this is right out of State versus Jackson. This is 1993. Again, case law doesn't expire, everybody. It doesn't expire because Jim, the 23-year-old veteran who doesn't know a goddamn thing about case law, who knows nothing other than how to get a free cup of coffee at 7-Eleven, says so, or because somebody got promoted and thinks all of a sudden now they know everything and makes a statement like case law is old. If case law was old, Miranda would not have to be read to people. It's an old case law. I just want to remind everybody with that. You hear somebody say, well, that's not really relevant to this time. Well, you think they revisit every single issue every year and issue new case law regarding it? They don't. When they make something, they like it, they move on. No need to revisit it. They can reference it in future cases. But let me read this out of Jackson. It says, although Article 1, Paragraph 7 of the New Jersey Constitution may very well afford our citizens greater protection against unreasonable searches and seizures than does the Fourth Amendment, see State versus Hempel, and cases, whatever that is, neither public policy nor New Jersey decisional law compel a result different from that opposed by the federal authorities referenced above. Indeed, although not dispositive, rounded supra, suggest an analysis which is both practical and consistent with the foregoing. So, wow. I know a lot of you guys have a hard time interpreting what kind of language this means. It just says, look, we like the federal standard. We're gonna use it. That's what the feds say. Sounds good to us. We'll take it here in New Jersey. That's what we use. And that's right out of the case I just read to you about searching a safe or locked containers or compartments. When you have a warrant, a probable cause plus exigency, there's no need to continue to stop your search and then get a warrant for locked containers. You can have a difference of opinion, but if you do, That's fine. Just bring facts to me. I don't give a shit what your opinions are. Just facts. I don't want to debate things. Guys will call me like, we have a guy at work who says you can't arrest for the odor of marijuana under State versus George Myers. I'm like, I'm not even engaging in this conversation because the bottom line is it's case law. It's there. There's nothing to discuss. I'm not arguing with somebody who has an opinion. Show me a fact. I'll review it. And if it's correct, I'll say, oh, my bad. Hasn't happened yet. Anyway, guys. See you later. I should be back here tomorrow. Just working on case law weekend and prepping the class, making it real sharp for everybody. So real nice product coming out to the guys for the two-day course. And for the guys for the two-day course and one-day course, do me a favor, send some embarrassing pictures of other people that are coming to the class so we can make sure to put them in the PowerPoint and just hit people with some weird, embarrassing shit while we're all sitting there. And we'll have some fun poking some enjoyment their way. See ya.